Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in the Bay Area, it's time for Bay Area Business Radio. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Bay Area Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, Leah Davis Coaching, inspiring women of color to claim their wealth legacy. Today on Bay Area Business Radio, we have Cherie Williams with the Global Food and Drink Initiative. Welcome, Cherie.
Thank you. Hello. Good afternoon.
Well, I am excited to learn what you're up to. Tell us a little bit about the Global Food and Drink Initiative. How are you serving folks?
Awesome. So we are a media nonprofit that started in the wake of everything going on last August. And where we were before then is I publish a food, drink, and travel magazine called Cuisine Noir. And through that work, we connect the African diaspora through food, drink, and travel. And so since 2009, we were pioneering conversations of anyone of African descent in those industries because the industry does not necessarily, we're seeing more of it now, but prior to last year happening, it just wasn't a lot of recognition of sharing of stories of Black chefs, Black winemakers, travel influencers, et cetera. And so we set out on a mission to do that through Cuisine Noir. And so through the Global Food and Drink Initiative allows us through the nonprofit to expand the work. So not only do we tell those stories through Cuisine Noir, we're hosting more events, doing more educational programming, really connecting people to tools and resources to follow their dreams in these industries. And so we're excited just to expand and move forward with this mission.
So now what's your backstory? What drove you to serve this clientele?
So my backstory is really, I say it goes back to the fifth grade with Miss Delaney, who was just my teacher. But Miss Delaney had us always writing short stories. So I had a big imagination when I was a kid. And so as a lot of kids were outside playing and doing different things, I was always writing just short stories. And I say that because writing always followed me through the years. And so I'm originally from outside Chicago, got my advertising degree in advertising. And then I really wanted to go on into public relations. And so I always knew it was about telling stories. And so I was approached I'm not the founder of Cuisine Noir, but I'm currently the owner. So the founder came to me in 2007, who was a chef, and really wanted to expand this narrative. And as a publicist at the time, as a writer, it's like, wow, these are great stories that are not being told. And so one thing led to another, and here I am today. I took over the magazine in December of 2008. And this September will be 12 years since I officially launched it under my leadership. So it's a long journey, but always pay attention. You can connect the dots for sure. So, and I definitely connected it back to the fifth grade.
And you connected it between storytelling and then ultimately food and drink?
Yes. It's very interesting, growing up in the Midwest, a lot of things, obviously now living in Oakland, food is different, the farm to table, the lettuce, it just, a lot of things are different out here. But food just happened to be the area that just was the opportunity. And from there, I love it. Food was always a part of my life, obviously, growing up in terms of, cooking with my mom for Sunday dinners and food being around family table and all of that. So, food is always a memory in everybody's childhood, et cetera. But it just happened to be the area where the stories were being told and there was a need. And I dove right in and I absolutely love it. I've learned so much about just chefs around the world, different cuisines, different ingredients. With wine, definitely have come into my own with wine. I'm studying now for my certification. So it just was a beautiful way of all coming together.
Yeah. And like you said, around that dinner table is where a lot of great stories are told. So it is kind of
absolutely.
Full circle.
Absolutely. And even for disagreements, I think you know, whatever is going on in the world right now. I think if you can have some good food, you can have a good conversation, whether you agree or disagree.
That's right. So now, what are some of the initiatives that the Global Food and Drink Initiative is working on?
Yeah, so right now we're wrapping up a series around publishing. So we talk to a lot of cookbook authors. We deal with a lot of chefs. You know, during this time, a lot of chefs and restaurant owners, just business owners in these areas, as you know, had to reinvent themselves, rethink how they're doing things, and look at different areas of revenue. Some came out with products. Some were coming out with, you know what, let me take this time to publish my cookbook. So one of the initiatives we're doing is around publishing. So we're finishing up just the ABCs of publishing that started in April is, you know, how to tell your story, then how to get a publishing deal. This month, we're going to be talking about when you get when your book is being published, how to sell it. Next month, we're going to dive deeper into you want to write a cookbook. This is what that looks like. And then we're going to get into food photography and food styling, ghost writing. So we're really going to be shaping the food space, writing space. And why that's important, too, is also what happened last year with the whole reckoning that's been going on is there was media entities were noticing the lack of diverse voices telling the stories. And so if we can continue to help shape writers in the food, drink, and travel space, that's one of the initiatives that we'd love to do. The other initiative that we're going to be launching pretty soon is around food or just product. We get a lot of people who want to take a family recipe or something that they're already currently doing, but they don't have the slightest idea of how to that product gets from the idea to the shelf. And so we're working with a company up in organization called Foodpreneur Lab out of Toronto, Canada, and we'll be launching that series coming up late summer, early fall. And it really is a lot to think about. There is a lot that went into getting that sauce onto that Safeway shelf or whatever it is. Just like opening a restaurant, it takes more than just knowing how to cook good food. There's the business side of it. There's the legal side of it. All of that stuff. And so one of the initiatives that we'll do is just really helping people to understand that food production place. And then one of the other things that's near and dear to my heart around diversity and inclusion is really working with travel bureaus, visitors, travel bureaus around helping to understand the diversity of travelers. And what that means to their market. And I think this also spans across all areas. One of the initiatives that we like to do is, you know, we cater primarily to a Black audience. And unfortunately, that audience and our consumer spending power is really not taken seriously when it comes to different brands and destinations, et cetera. And so some of the work that we do is to help understand who we are as consumers, what attracts us, what do we like, what do we want to see? And the importance of that inclusion in your marketing materials when you're on your social media posts and things like that, because we do spend a lot of money in these areas. And so work that we can further around diversity, equity, and inclusion in food, drink, and travel is another area of initiatives that we're working on.
Are you finding that the pandemic has brought out more people that maybe had thought about getting into the hospitality business and maybe pursue being a chef or involved in food in a more business manner, but had kind of put it on a back burner, have elevated it to more of a priority because of the pandemic and the disruption it caused?
You know, what I would say that I'm finding in terms of that, well, so it's interesting, a couple of things. Last year there was a university out of Florida, and I apologize that it escapes me right now, is FAU, but they offered a certificate in hospitality. And so I definitely went through that. It's always good just to have some backup skills and et cetera. But what they're finding in the hospitality industry, we're mainly talking hotels, et cetera, and it could be restaurants and things too, is that workers are leaving because of the pandemic, you know, with restaurants, hotels, et cetera, being shut down, they had to find another way to support themselves, and therefore they have left the industry. So that, I just got like a press release on that today. So that is a big concern in the hospitality industry. What I am finding that's happening now in terms of chefs, restaurants, et cetera, is you're seeing people that are really, one, to your point, saying, I'm going to go for it, but also being authentic to who they are. So it is well known that in the culinary industry, you go to a high-priced culinary school, you brag about being French trained, you learn those techniques, all of that. But then you cook food that's not necessarily who you are and your background or who you want to cook. So it's perfectly fine. Every chef finds what their lane is. Some like to go the traditionally French trained route. Some like to just maybe do their own thing, take the techniques and apply it to their own style. So one of the things that we are seeing is that chefs are coming into their own and saying, you know what, if I'm Ghanaian, if I'm Nigerian, if I'm Puerto Rican, I'm Cuban, et cetera, I want to cook the food that really feeds my soul. And so you're really seeing a lot of authentic ethnic products come out to the market. You're seeing chefs open different restaurant concepts around who they are as chefs. And again, bringing in all skills, all experience, all of the training, et cetera, to now land where they want to land. So you're really seeing that coming forward of people saying, you know what, I'm going to carve my own lane, do the food that I want to do, and move forward with that unapologetically. And so that's definitely one of the things that we're seeing.
I agree 100%. I think that the successful chefs are the ones that kind of get kind of niche-y. You know, they get very specific and they bring their own kind of taste, flavor, and history to something. And it may seem counterintuitive that to not appeal to everybody, but I think that people, when you're in the mood for something, you're in the mood for something. You're not in the mood for everything.
Absolutely. And I think the country and definitely the world, but the global palate is really growing to where people are interested, just like we fall in love with Italian food, Mexican food, Greek food, Indian food, Thai food. I think those that are foodies and love food and the ingredients, they want more.
And
they want to be able to explore more.
Right. And a lot of them want to be the first one on the block to find that cool place that no one knows about.
Absolutely.
And they like to share, hey, you got to try this new place.
Absolutely. True food lovers love food. They love trying different foods and experiences. And I think that is the beauty of it.
So now in your work, you're helping to nurture kind of those emerging companies and the emerging entrepreneurs that are playing in this space. It must be very rewarding work to really make a difference and an impact on these people's lives and the lives of the people in their communities.
You know, we definitely try to raise awareness to who is doing what and make sure that connections are made. So we have been, you know, excited to people that we featured in our magazine have gone on to brand endorsements. They've been on TV shows. So by bringing people to the forefront and awareness to the industries in general, people are able to be seen and get opportunities. And that's what we love doing.
And then can you share a story of maybe one of the people you profiled that has kind of taken their brand to a new level? If you want to name their name, that'd be great. If not, just talk about, you know, kind of in general, how you were able to help them.
Sure. So there was one pastry chef, her name is Jessica, out of New York, and she was impacted through the pandemic. And so one day I got an email from the publicist of a chocolate company. And she said, you know, thanks to your article, we connected with Jessica, and now she's one of our chocolate ambassadors. And so she's gone on with this chocolate company to create recipes. She's in their collateral campaign. And so seeing things like that, it's like, wow, you know, just from, you know, reading our stories, knowing who's doing what, they were able to connect and she was able to get that opportunity. We've had individuals come back and say, you know, whether we've posted about wine scholarships or we had a story that we did around a wine psalm launching a foundation and a scholarship to help individuals learn different languages. So if I wanted to really brush up on my Spanish to go over to Spain and be in the wine scene and be in hospitality, then I can, when I'm in a restaurant, working in a Spanish restaurant, I can understand during employee meetings and things like that. So it was a way of, you know, just learning different languages that would help you in the hospitality industry and finding out that our readers connected and won scholarships that way. So stories like that are always great. I mean, I'm trying to think. There was just something that happened last week. Oh, we had a chef that we featured from St. Lucia. And so he had shared with me that the story went all the way to Minnesota, and the owners of a restaurant there flew to St. Lucia to meet him.
Wow.
And said, we saw the article in Cuisine Noir. So, you know, we love just hearing how we're able to connect and make sure people know what is going on, who is doing what. So hearing those stories always just like bring a smile to my face. So
now, do you have any advice for the chefs out there, maybe the budding chefs or the aspirational chefs, on what could they be doing to get on your radar? Or what can they be doing to get out there a little bit more so that they can, you know, create the impact that they desire?
Right. You know, so I always say I'm in a unique position because, you know, I'm an executive director, but then I'm also a publisher and editor of a magazine. And then I've had the head of a publicist before. Right. So I sort of am looking at that. Some of the things, you know, social media is important, but it's not the end all. And so there are, you know, you don't have to have a fancy publicist, an expensive publicist, to really be able to market yourself to different media outlets. It's just really about having someone, you know, do your bio and then sitting down with a photographer and taking photos so that you can market yourself, and then reaching out and telling your story and being ready for when that opportunity comes up. So, you know, we were looking at doing sort of a crash course on how to talk to media because, you know, we get pitches all the time, some that work for us, some that don't. We also are out there looking at who is doing what. So, you know, we do use social media in that aspect, but I always like to see more. I don't want to see you living on Instagram or Facebook. What else are you doing to grow your brand? And then what are you doing in the community as well? That's the other thing, is are you giving back, or are you, what is that story there? So we love, as you know, we love a good story. So, you know, I think you know, chefs and restaurants, et cetera, they've got to really, you know, be well-rounded when it comes to how they're getting attention. Again, just don't be so social media centric.
And good photographs, though, are must-haves nowadays, right?
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. So there's two things. You know, before, especially before COVID, there was this time where you got the interview with the journalist, and then they're like, we're going to send the photographer out to shoot you. Well, as of, you know, pandemic, right? That wasn't possible anymore, but people still needed to go forth and tell their stories. But I always say, as a publicist, one of the things that I used to tell my clients is you need to own your photos, own everything, because those are your photos. They can't be resold to anybody else, and you can use them for a variety of different things. And so you know, you shape the day, you shape the look of it, everything is staged out and it's ready, versus when someone, and so that way, if I come along as a journalist, and you know what, I talk to you on Tuesday, and by the way, my deadline is Wednesday morning, we don't have time for a photo shoot. So again, the best thing that someone can do is get their own media properties ready with their, or media assets ready. So that way, when someone calls you up, you'll be ready. I just had someone reach out for someone. Speaking of what you were saying, we wrote a story on a winemaker. I think it dated back to 2015, 2014. Someone saw that we wrote about her, wanted to reach out to her for a story that she was working on in 2021. And so with that being said, her deadline was in 2 days. Again, no way that photos were going to happen. You need to have your photos ready to go. So,
and that's,
so that's one of the main things. And there's services like Snapper, S-N-A-P-P-R, that you can arrange a 30-minute session for $99. And they take as many photos as they can take.
Wow.
Boom.
And then that's a great story about the importance of, you know, this content lives forever. Like if it's on the internet, somebody can find this who knows when. And so when they find you, you better be ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always say, you know, one of the books that I did remember reading in high school was Carpe Diem, right?
Right.
And so that whole saying, that whole, it just stuck with me to this day. You got to be ready to seize that day, seize the moment. You got to be ready.
Well, if somebody wants to learn more about the Global Food and Drink Initiative or your work at Cuisine Noir, what's the best website for them to learn more about what you're up to?
Thank you. So they can go to globalforgood.org, and that's F-O-R versus the number 4, so globalforgood.org. You can see our work there for the Global Food and Drink Initiative, and then they can follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Soon we'll have a Facebook Instagram page for the Global Food and Drink. We'll be launching that this month. And then for Cuisine Noir, they can go to cuisinenoir.com or cuisinenoirmag.com and see, go back to all of our stories that date back to date back to mainly 2010, because we, in our new launch, we took some of our older ones off. But definitely you'll see a history of stories that we featured over the years. And then we've got some exciting projects coming up, some fun things that we're going to be launching to celebrate our 12-year anniversary in September. I know that is 5 months out, but you know we're already at May, and months tend to go fast once we get into the summer. So yeah. Definitely follow us. And see what we have going on and the work that we're going to continue to do.
Well, Cherie, congratulations on all the success, and thank you so much for the work that you're doing. It's making such an impact, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share. Thank you so much, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Bay Area Business Radio.